Orville Freestone Jr., Sunday AM, August 9th, 2009.
What is happiness? Do you know? Can you define it? More to the point, are you happy this morning? Several years ago, in fact, more than that, a fad raged across this country. Happiness is. You complete the sentence. I guess the idea was that happiness is different strokes for different folks. Charles Schulz, the creator of the Peanuts cartoon, had a good deal of insight. He was also an evangelical Christian. In one of his cartoon strips, he had Lucy saying, "Happiness is an ice cream cone on a hot day," as she licked her ice cream. But Linus thought, as he sucked his thumb, happiness is a security blanket. Snoopy thought, happiness is a warm puppy. And Charlie Brown, he wasn't sure he was happy. So from that, I guess, happiness depends on circumstances. If things are to our liking, we're happy. If we're not, we're unhappy. Is that better? So we see from the word happy and the word happiness that they are derived from the English word hap, H-A-P, which means chance. So I guess happiness is just a chance at something. Perhaps that's why people go to the casinos, because happiness is the luck of the draw or the throw of the dice. But when we turn to the scriptures, we see something quite different. Happiness is not a chance. In the 32nd Psalm, we read, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile." When we turn to the scripture, we find that in the Hebrew of the Old Testament, in the Greek of the New Testament, and even in Latin, that the word happy is the same as the word blessed. And happiness is the same as blessedness. So when you read the scriptures, keep in mind that happiness is not based on hap, on chance. Happiness is based on blessing. They who are blessed are happy. Are you blessed? There is much unhappiness in this world. Unhappiness all around us. And of course, we ourselves have experienced unhappiness as well as happiness. But this world was not created for unhappiness. We read in Genesis that when God created the world, he saw that everything was very good. And when he created man, Adam and Eve, he blessed them. So this world was intended for happiness and blessing. But that is not what we see in the world. It's not even what we see happening in the scripture. Oftentimes people blame God for what happens. Why would God let innocent people suffer? Why would God let such terrible things happen to little children? As though God is supposed to step in each time and prevent it. But in these verses that we have just read here, we see the causes for unhappiness. And it is not the draw of a card. It is not the throw of a dice. It is not the odd circumstances of life that happen to occur that we, all of us, experience and endure. The causes of happiness, unhappiness, are found in these two verses that we have just read. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. The first cause of unhappiness that we see in here is sin. Sin is the cause of almost all unhappiness on this earth. We are accepting the natural disasters, earthquakes and volcanoes and floods, and the things that forces of nature, in which are in the hands of God, and for diseases that are not of our own cause. But nearly all of the unhappiness in this world is caused by sin. And I think that that should be a truism if we think about it. This does not mean that everything unhappy that occurs is the cause of a particular sin of a particular person. Jesus taught that example when one day he and his disciples were walking along and they came to a blind man, whom Jesus healed. This man had been born blind. And the disciples asked him, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus took that statement seriously. But when you stop to think of it, how could that man's sin be his own fault when he was born blind? And no, the Bible does not leave any room for reincarnation, for paying for the sins of a former life. The Bible says God creates the spirit of man within him. So each birth is a creation of God. But sin is the cause of all, or most all, of the sin, of the unhappiness and the misery in this world. Do you get tired of turning on the news and hearing nothing but the police blotter? Do you get tired of hearing of all the inhumanity to man throughout the world? Is that not all caused by sin? This is one of the big lessons of the third chapter of Genesis. What caused the misery of Adam and Eve being driven out of the garden? Was it not disobedience? It wasn't of an apple. It wasn't even, as the Arabs believe, dates. It was disobedience. There's a story of one little child who was drawing a picture like our little children do here, even in church. And her mother asked, "What are you drawing?" And she says, "What I learned in Sunday school." "Well, what are you drawing here?" "Here's an automobile." "Yes. And who's this in front?" "This person with a long beard." "Oh, that's God." "Well, who's in the back seat?" "Well, that's Adam and Eve. It's God driving them out of the garden." But what drove them out of the garden was disobedience, that is, sin. And sin has ravaged this world ever since. And it is a universal experience. Raise your hand if you've never experienced the shame of sin. Pretty universal, isn't it? So one of the causes of unhappiness is sin. Sometimes directly so, but not always. Because isn't it a fact that always it is the innocent who pay, the innocent who suffer? Why would God let that happen? I'm sure you've asked yourself that question. Why would God permit that to happen? And I'll say, He had to. If He made it so that it could not happen, we would be just like the animals. Amoral. Did you ever hear of an immoral dog? You've heard of a mad dog. Did you ever hear of an immoral elephant? You've heard of a rogue elephant. But God wanted someone who would choose to love Him by choice. Don't you? You don't want people to treat you kindly just because they have to, do you? Of course, we have laws to sanction people who don't treat others kindly. But God wanted someone who would love Him in His creatures by choice. And a choice means this or that, does it not? And if we had no choice to be evil, we would have no choice to be holy. So God took a chance, we might say, although He knew the outcome, of course, in giving us a moral nature in which we make choices. Even fallen humanity has a conscience, we read in the Bible. And so, if there were no possibility of sin, there would be no possibility of righteousness, just as with the pets that you have in your home. So sin is a cause of unhappiness. Blessed is the man whose sin is covered. Blessed is the happy is the man whose sin is covered. And the next one is transgression. Blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven. Sin is a nature. Sin is a state of being, we read in the Bible. All of Adam's race since his day live in sin. Transgression is an act. The definition is to violate the right of another, or to trespass where one does not belong. Blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven. Transgression, an act of violation, is another one of those universal experiences. Raise your hand if you've never transgressed on anything of anybody else. You're honest. We are sinners by birth. We are transgressors by choice. And all mankind makes choices consistent with his nature. And a third cause for unhappiness is iniquity. Blessed is the man whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Iniquity is of a moral nature, moral violations. It is that particular and peculiar twist in human nature that always tends towards evil. And even the most cultured, the most benevolent, the most humanitarian have that twist in human nature. It is something that psychologists, psychiatrists can't cure. They can't treat it. It's a universal quality of a fallen nature, a twisted inner being. The Apostle Paul said that according to the Jewish understanding at that time of the law, he was blameless. Really. He thought he was blameless. And yet he found, when he met the risen Christ, that in his flesh dwelt no good thing. That is the first lesson, the first doctrine of the Christian faith, that in this moral being, damaged and twisted by sin, there is no good thing. Now, this does not mean that every last individual is as evil as he can possibly become. Thank God there aren't very many Hitlers or Stalins. But this is the cause of unhappiness. And it isn't by chance. It's because of sin and by choice. But also in these verses we read the causes of happiness. Blessed is the man whose sin is covered. Covered sins. That's one of the first lessons of Moses' law. For the word atonement in Hebrew is to cover, to hide from the face of a holy God. Blessed is the man whose sin is covered. So we try to cover up our sins, don't we? Think of Richard Nixon. and his cover up, attempted cover-up. Think of Bill Clinton and his denials. Think of the congressmen and senators who have recently resigned in scandal, that they were unable to cover up. Because this is a moral universe. Nothing can be covered up. These whom I mentioned have found that out. And the prophet pronounced under the law, be sure your sin will find you out. Sin cannot be covered up, not by any of us. But that isn't what the text here says. Blessed is he whose sin is covered. Men cover their sins and they fester. They fester and they cause continued sin and sorrow. God covers sin and it's erased. It's gone. Blessed is the man whose sins are covered. Not covered up, but covered. Man covers up sins and it fester, and God covers sins and heals. Do you remember when that happened to you? Do you remember what a relief it was to realize that your sin was forgiven? So, one of the causes of happiness, one of the causes of blessedness, is covered sin. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Forgiveness. One of the great blessings of life is forgiveness. When there is something between you and another person, and it is admitted and then forgiven, and fellowship is restored, isn't that a blessed experience? The transgression is forgiven, because until a transgression is forgiven, there remains something between the aggrieved and the aggriever. Men need forgiveness. Men and women, and even children, need the experience of forgiveness. But God requires repentance for forgiveness. One of the requirements throughout the Bible is repentance. We read in the Bible that King David was a man after God's own heart. Do you know why he was a man after God's own heart? He sinned greatly. He transgressed greatly. There was no sacrifice for his crime, that is, for his great sin. And that isn't the only sin that he ever committed either. But he was called a man after God's own heart. When he committed adultery with Bathsheba, and committed murder of her husband. What a great blot on such a great life. But when the prophet came to him and faced him with it, when he pointed his finger right at him and says, "Thou art the man," you remember what David said? He said, "I have sinned." He said the hardest words ever to be uttered. I'm sure you know, and I know, how hard it is to utter those words. I am wrong, or I have sinned. Now picture the great Persian monarch that we read of in the book of Nehemiah and Ezra. Picture him saying, "I have sinned." Picture a prophet having the temerity to tell him that he had sinned. For it was written in the law of the Medes and the Persians that no one could even enter into his presence without his permission. Picture any other ancient Oriental monarch letting a prophet tell him, "You are a criminal. Even congressmen don't like to be told that they're wrong. Even senators resent when you point out their wrongs. And so do presidents. That is why David was a man after God's own heart. That's why David could write that 51st Psalm of penitence. He wrote that psalm of repentance for his sin and published it and appointed it to be sung in the temple liturgy. Isn't that remarkable? Now, this psalm that we're reading here is listed as before the 51st. It's the 32nd psalm. But as it has been pointed out by several scholars, it really chronologically follows the 51st psalm. It follows that psalm of repentance. It is the song of deliverance from one's own self. The psalm of the joy of forgiveness. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. That was his personal experience. And whose sin is covered, removed. The prophet told David after his confession, "Your sin has been pardoned." That means all rights, privileges, and communion restored. Blessed is the man whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. It is the joy of forgiveness, the joy of restoration. And as we read later on in this same psalm, in verse 5, "I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid." He didn't hide it, but God did. "I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin." The mere passage of time changes nothing, but repentance at once changes everything. And this was David's experience. For this shall be, for this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee, in a time when thou mayest be found. This is the mark of godliness. This is the mark of blessedness. This is the mark of happiness. And the Apostle Paul picked up on this. He quotes these very verses in the fourth chapter of Romans. He, the proud Pharisee, who was blameless according to the Jewish law as they understood it at that time. He who had persecuted the church to do God honor. In the fourth chapter of Romans, he says, even as David also describeth the blessedness, the happiness, the blessedness of the man unto whom the Lord imputeth righteousness. Imputeth righteousness. Righteousness undeserved. How can someone who is unrighteous be counted righteous? Only by God, with repentance. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, apart from his righteousness concerning the law. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision, that is upon the Jewish people only, or upon King David only, or upon the uncircumcision also, that is upon the Gentiles also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. So here is this blessedness. Repentance, forgiveness, iniquities forgiven, transgressions forgiven. And it is for everyone worldwide, not just for the Jewish people, but for all who believe. Who for all who will bow before the Lord and request his forgiveness. Jesus told a parable in the 19th chapter of Matthew about a man who owed his Lord an enormous sum of money, and he couldn't pay. And because he requested mercy, his Lord frankly forgave him his debt. Now, you wonder where Jesus got that story, that parable? He was the Lord. And he will pardon every sinner who will bow before him. He will pardon every saint who will repent of wrongs done. And then we have this blessedness, as Paul called it. Cometh this blessedness upon the Jews only? No, on everyone who will repent. This blessedness is imputed righteousness. We stand before God not in our own righteousness, but cloaked in his righteousness. It is apart from works. And this happiness is a clear conscience. What a blessedness is a clear consciousness. And fellowship with God. And fellowship with others. There used to be a television program called This Is Your Life. Some of you remember it, where a person to be honored was brought into the studio and people from the past were brought in. This is your life. And they had a good reunion. Well, this is your life, not that past that was forgiven. None of those things from the past will come to haunt you when you bow before the Lord and receive his forgiveness. It's all the future, and the future extends into eternity. This blessedness, this is your new life. So, are you happy? Are you happy this morning? God wants you to be happy. His purpose in the beginning in creating this lovely earth, this marvelous universe, and placing our race upon it was that we should be happy and blessed in his blessing. So I hope you are happy this morning. Bruce, let's close by singing 214 in our hymnal. Oh, happy day.